Hello, everybody, and a very happy Easter Sunday. If you've got a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 20 and verses 24 to 29, where we're going to look at the story together of Thomas. So, starting at verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, to believe the resurrection of the dead is to accept that God has gone beyond the bounds of rationality. And that can be extremely hard. Thomas struggled with the idea that God did raise from the dead his friend, his teacher, his master, the person that he'd spent 3 years of his life with. He just struggled to believe it. And maybe that is also you. You can't get your head round the resurrection story. It's interesting, isn't it? How do we know Thomas today? Whether you are in attendance at a church or not, how do you know Thomas today? You know him as doubting Thomas. In fact, we use the expression, do we not, when we're talking to people and we're asking them to believe something. We use it in a derogatory term, you doubting Thomas. It's a shame, really, because he can't quite shake the label of doubt off. And equally interesting that we don't refer to Peter as denier Peter. Thomas, believing Jesus, gets a little bit pushed aside. And a shame, really, that it does. Because in the end, Peter did believe Jesus and did follow him and serve him. The fact is, though, there is nothing wrong with doubt. Many people find faith in Christ through a journey of doubt, looking at their doubts. For others, their faith is more real because they have doubted and had to work things out through doubt. So for me, although Thomas is a story of doubt, it's also a story of hope. And is that not the story of the resurrection too? Hope? But it's a sign of hope that the most sceptical of people can become the most passionate followers of Christ. So let's look at the subject of doubt and what occurred after the resurrection with Jesus together. See, not all doubters have a desire to believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Some doubters are protecting themselves from what would be a change of lifestyle. A change of lifestyle from being how they've lived to being a follower of Jesus is a huge change. This is what I call a dishonest doubter, in the sense that there are people that just don't want their answers to be answered, because they know that if they were answered, then so much would have to be, or would have to change. Having said that, if you are one of those, then the Bible is very clear. You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, says Jeremiah. So I want to say to you, if you're a dishonest doubter, why don't you look and find? Look and find God. Thomas seemed to be what I call a natural doubter. I don't know how much of his wider doubts were framed and affected by his life and how much he lived out that doubt in real life, but we see it here in all of its intensity. But what I do know about Thomas, and what we do know that from reading about him, is that underneath there was a desire to believe that the man that stood in front of him was Jesus. He just needed to be a bit more brave, a bit more courageous, a bit more, I'll reach out for this. And maybe at this Easter time, it's time for you to reach out. To reach out, to be brave, to be courageous. Doubt is okay. But it does have to face the evidence, and we do have to reevaluate if our doubts are proved wrong. See, with all his friends around him, and with full confidence, Thomas said, I will believe, but only if. Only if. He almost puts conditions on it. And then 8 days later, in walks Jesus. Well, actually, he just appeared. You would have thought that was proof enough, wasn't it? The room was closed, and in appears Jesus. As to who he was, Jesus says to Thomas, okay, if you want proof, then here's the proof. John says, actually, at the end of the chapter about Thomas, he says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing that you may have life in his name. So here you have it. That there are things written down in the Bible that are there so that you can believe in him. Maybe it's time to pick it up again. Time to read it. Time to just go on your own and read it. Because in it contains the promise of a new life in his name. You know, sometimes doubt is fear and even laziness. Why don't you look at the hands and side of Jesus? I think it takes more faith to disbelieve Christ's death and resurrection than to believe in it. Do you want your doubts resolved? Resolved? Jesus said this in verse 29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Strange as it may sound, it is in believing that we see the risen Jesus. You know, you can't sort out all your certainties out first and then believe. To believe in Jesus, to believe in Jesus as the Christ, is an act of faith. You have to take a leap of faith. Maybe even at this time, at Easter, it's time to take that leap of faith. To do as the psalmist said, to taste and see that the Lord is God. For Thomas, he did take a leap of faith. It produced this statement, my Lord and my God. Thomas saw who stood before him. I can see who you are, he said. Seems to be an act of surrender and worship at the same time. But it was deeply personal, and faith in Christ is deeply personal. Thomas was able to utter these words, my God, my Lord, my. It is between you and your God. I read this recently about a man called Sheldon Van Auken. Now, he was a friend of C.S. Lewis, and he describes his struggle in finding faith through the death and resurrection of Christ like this. He says, there is a gap between the probable and the proved. How was I to cross it? If I were to stake my whole life on the risen Christ, then I wanted proof. I wanted certainty. I wanted to see him eat fish like his disciples did. I wanted letters of fire across the sky. And actually, I got none of these. I continued to hang about on the edge of the gap. It was a question of whether I was going to accept him or reject him. My God, there was a gap behind me as well. Perhaps the leap to acceptance was a horrifying gamble. But what of the leap of rejection? There might be no absolute certainty that Christ was the God. But there was no certainty that he was not. This was not to be borne. I could not reject Jesus. There was only one thing to do once I had seen the gap behind me. I turned away from it and I flung myself over the gap towards Jesus. And my appeal to you at this Easter time is to fling yourself over the gap towards the risen Jesus Christ. I am so impressed with Thomas and his journey of faith. It was honest. It was real. It was wonderful that his doubts were resolved. So why not take the advice of the prophets, or the prophet, well, one particular prophet, and that is the advice of the prophet Isaiah. Why not seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near? God bless you so much. God richly bless you this Easter Sunday.